Hi, everyone. Happy Fueling Forward Friday, and welcome back to the Fueling Forward podcast. I'm your host, Maddie Ulm, registered dietitian and former professional runner. Today's guest is Bailey Ness. Bailey is co-founder of Cool Down, which is the largest run club in the U.S. and has 12 different locations across cities for run club meetups. She's also the founder of Necessity, a social media marketing company. Bailey is an alumni of the University of Minnesota track and cross-country team. She's also a five-time marathon finisher, and her fastest time is a 2:46. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. All right. Hi, Bailey. Welcome to the Fueling Forward podcast.
Hello. Thank you for having me here. So excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you here today. You have such a cool story, and I think you're just such a boss. So I'm really excited to talk about all the things that you're doing and have accomplished. But I'd love to start with having you, for those of people who are listening who maybe don't know who you are, tell us who you are. Tell us who Bailey Ness is.
Yeah, absolutely. Bailey, I live in Denver, Colorado. I've lived here for about 5 years now. I am originally from Minnesota and actually ran at the University of Minnesota cross country and track and field. And when I moved to Denver 5 years ago, I started a social media marketing agency. And that's just been living, breathing, and thriving over the past 5 years. And then what is it, 2.5 years ago now? My co-founder and I started Cool Down, which is an all-inclusive run community and largest run club in the U.S. And also, 1.5 years ago, we launched our clothing line that specifically focuses on running apparel.
Amazing. You have done so many things. And on top of all that, you are always training, you've run marathons, and you're running Boston 1 week from the day that we're recording this.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. We're a week away. Let's go.
Yeah. So cool. So I love that you have all this background in running and you've kind of created different avenues for other people to explore running. So I'm curious, how did you get into running? What was your start to the sport? What did that look like?
Yeah, I started running when I was in seventh grade. I was pretty much forced into it by my parents. They were like, I think you're going to be really good at this. Your brother's really good at this. My dad used to be a professional runner. So he was like, you know, if you have my genes, it might go well. So I joined the cross country team when I was in seventh grade. And at the time, unfortunately, it did go well for me. I'm so happy now that I was forced to do it because, and was good at it because it's become obviously such a huge part of my life. And I have loved it ever since. So
amazing. I didn't know that your dad was a professional runner.
He was. He ran the marathon. He was sponsored by Brooks. He's ancient, though, at this point. Love you, Dad, if you ever listen to this.
Sorry, but, Dad, if you're listening.
Yeah. But he was also a very great runner, and he also ran for the University of Minnesota and was a multi-time All-American and all the good stuff, so.
That's amazing. That's so cool. I feel like I had a similar intro to running where like my parents were into running and I was not. And they were like, you should try this. You'll be good at it. And same thing. I said, unfortunately for me, I was decent at it, but that worked out really well. So how did that go for you in high school? Like getting into running, what did that progression look like from kind of being resistant to embracing it?
Yeah, I think everybody naturally likes being good at something. I was always like I played every sport, but I was always very average at all the other ones. I was also always very average at school. So I think finding that thing that I did really thrive at was really awesome for me. And then also meeting all the amazing people on my team, I instantly clicked really well with them and loved the social aspect of it right away as well.
So fun. And how did you end up running in college? What did that process look like for you deciding that?
Mm-hmm. I think for a while I was like, should I do this? Should I not do this? Do I want to? And ultimately I just decided it was the best decision. I thought it would be really cool to run in college. I did look elsewhere other than my home state, kind of all over the US. And ultimately, I was like, I think representing where I'm from and staying close to home and just continuing to form my connections within Minnesota will be really fun. So, yeah, ended up going there.
So cool. And did you go through much of a recruitment process or did you kind of like walk on? What did that look like?
Yeah, I definitely feel like my junior year, I went on a lot of unofficial visits. And I think I did like 10 unofficial visits my junior year because wow. I was just getting ahead of it. And then my senior year, I had narrowed it down to either Madison or so University of Wisconsin or University of Minnesota. And just took the 2 unofficial visits there. And the classic, they wined and dined ya and had a great time. Felt like they just rolled out the red carpet at that age, especially. You're just in such awe of all the old college kids and such. Mm-hmm. And I, just loved Minnesota the most. And I had a small scholarship when I did start my freshman year.
Awesome. That's yep. so fun. And I did the same thing. Obviously, I stayed in my home state.
Yes.
For me, a big thing was making sure that I liked the school and where I was going, running aside. That was really important to me. And I'm curious if that was something that weighed in on your decision, was kind of picking a school based on where you thought you'd be happy with or without running.
Yes, definitely. I loved how University of Minnesota was in Minneapolis and St. Paul. So I liked how it was still the city feel. And I really am super close with my family, so being close to home was also very important to me. And then I think just the general vibes of the team felt like running wasn't everything, which has always been so important to me because I always have known I wasn't going to be a professional runner. I was never at that level. Like, that was never going to be the path for me. So knowing that I was going to a school that was also going to prioritize the other things in my life was definitely important.
Yeah, and I think that speaks volumes to where you are today. Like, running is still a big part of your life, but you have such a good life balance, so I'm excited to get into that. But rewinding a little bit back to when you first were introduced into running and maybe transitioned into college, what was your first experience with nutrition and performance? When did it kind of click for you that there was maybe a connection?
Yes, I am so embarrassed to start talking to you about this.
No.
Because I just don't take anything I say. But I was the worst eater growing up. Like chicken nuggets, bagels, maybe buttered pasta. I don't think I had a vegetable until I turned 15. I was so picky. I loved carbs. I loved bread. I loved just food that was not good for you. I would come home and eat bacon every day right after school. I loved bacon. I also loved Doritos and Goldfish. So I would say that was a lot of my diet growing up just because that's what I liked and I was picky. So when I got to college right away, freshman year, we had a nutritionist and she could tell. She was like, I am working with you. We're going through the dining hall together. We're going to change this diet for you and figure out what's going on here. And so she taught me about how to portion my plate, put things that are green on it, even though I did not like it. And I really have grown to love vegetables. It's crazy how you get yourself used to it. I also wasn't really like that into a lot of meat. Like, again, I was mainly eating carbs.
And bacon.
Yes, and bacon. And chicken nuggets.
Yes, perfect.
So she taught me how to eat like good for you chicken and steak and things like that. And of course, my iron went up. I got healthier naturally. And I'm so grateful for having a nutritionist right away my freshman year, because I feel like she taught me so much and I'm better for it.
I love that. And I think it's such a refreshing perspective. I've, you know, been hearing from a lot of people who listen to the podcast, and I know some of the stories about athletes who do struggle with that relationship with food and, you know, find their way back from that can be really inspiring, but it can also be really heavy, and I don't think it reflects a lot of athletes' experiences. And so what I hear from yours is that growing up, you had a really healthy relationship with food where you were just eating things that sounded good and that you liked, and you weren't eating things that you didn't like, and that's okay. I mean, focusing on carbs, that's something that I wish more high school runners would do. And so even though it was like, you know, Doritos and Goldfish, that's still fantastic. And hearing that tells me you felt really secure in that relationship with food. So I'm curious, what was your family environment like around food that established that for you?
Well, thank you. I'm happy to hear that I'm approved by you. I think my family was just super open to food. They were always like trying to get me to try new things, and I was always resisting, but at the same time my mom was just like, all right, Bailey wants buttered noodles again tonight, Bailey wants mac and cheese again tonight, like that's what I'll make her. So I think everybody in my family just doesn't have bad relationships with food. I think we all eat when we feel hungry, and I think that honestly has made me into the type of person who does just eat when I'm hungry, and I, you know, eat my meals a day, but if I want a snack in the middle of the day, I have it, and I just listen to what my body tells me at all times, and I think I've done that almost my whole life.
That's so amazing, and honestly such a lost art today. I feel like growing up, a lot of times, if parents are kind of like, especially with picky eaters, of course, parents are concerned about their kids' health and growth and development, and so they tend to kind of push them to eat past fullness or eat more than they feel like they should, and then we end up losing that connection with our body. And so it's so cool that you had an environment, again, a safe environment to just kind of explore that on your own time, and you did eventually find your way there. I think that's a great reminder. If you're a parent listening who has a picky eater at home, they will find their way. You're not going to have a 30-year-old who only eats chicken nuggets and buttered noodles, and there's always going to be some exploration there, but I love that you were able to find that on your own.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and I think another thing to say with that too is I still love chicken nuggets, and I still love mac and cheese and all the things, and I still eat them often, but at the same time, I'm also eating a salad for lunch potentially, or also adding asparagus as a side, or just adding the extra things that give you the nutrients you need.
Exactly. It's not your only source of fuel, but it can still be in your diet, on your plate, which I absolutely love. And again, your experience with the dietitian it's at school is very different than a lot of the athletes that I've talked to so far in the podcast. A lot of them needed to work on that relationship with food. They needed to work on eating less color and more carbs and protein and all those things. And so it's cool to hear, again, your experience being so different. So tell us a little bit more about how you started working on your nutrition in college. What were some of the first changes you made?
Yes, I tried to add more color to my plate. So yes, good mention. I forgot about that. But yes, my plate was always very beige, so I tried to start to make it as colorful as possible. I also love color in my life, so.
Yes, you are a colorful person.
Yeah, so adding it to my plate was kind of a fun little thing to do, and making my plate look more aesthetically pleasing in my eyes was fun. But I did try to make it colorful with either fruits or vegetables or things like that, rather than just all the beige foods that I was used to. And then in addition, I started opening up my, palates to more meats, because I really hated them, and I started just slowly eating meat more and more, and eventually grew to like it. And now steak and lamb are one of my favorite foods, and I wouldn't even touch it until I was maybe 20 years old, which is wild.
That's so cool. And that's something we say in nutrition and like child nutrition is it can take 14, 15 exposures to a food to like it. Mm-hmm. And so continuing to try kind of working to add more of something that maybe you're hesitant to eating or that you didn't like in the past. And there is hope for your palate to change, which is really cool. And you shared earlier that you saw some health and performance improvements. Your iron went up. And so I'm assuming training, everything felt better.
Yeah, I think at first when I did switch my diet over to eating healthier, I really have never been a person who tracks my weight much, but I did end up like going home for Christmas and there was a scale there and I was like, wow, I've been eating way healthier, but I weigh more. And I was also lifting for the first time and doing things like that. So I think at first it almost took my butt, and just naturally, I was a freshman. I was going out a lot.
Yeah,
well, alcohol
you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah. So that probably didn't help either. But I did go home and I was like, wow, I've been gaining weight. So I do think it took a slight adjustment period for my body to get used to this new style of eating and this new lifestyle in general. And then I feel like I got to the place where I was looking at myself and I was like, that looks healthy. And I generally feel good about the way that I feel and then the way I look.
Mm-hmm. And I love that you kind of pointed out that eating healthier initially, your weight increased. I think a lot of athletes assume if I'm eating healthier, I'm going to lose weight. And sometimes what happens if we're not eating as many nutrients as we need to is we don't absorb them all. And so we do see athletes at lower weights until they start eating more nutrient-dense and energy-dense foods, which it sounds like you did. And again, I think we assume that weight increase is bad, but you just mentioned you were lifting, you saw increase in muscle mass. So a lot of those shifts probably needed to happen and allowed you to transition from a high school runner to a collegiate runner. And I love that you didn't fight that. You just kind of acknowledged, okay, this shift is happening. And this is just my body adjusting, which is huge. So do you have any pieces of advice for maybe a high school runner transitioning into college, how to navigate some of those changes or that environment?
Yeah, I think overall, just listen to your body, whether that's with fueling or with sleep or with too much socializing or, you know, burning the candle at all ends. I am constantly burning the candle at all ends. So I have to do a lot of check-ins with myself and say, okay, am I prioritizing all the things that need to be prioritized right now? Because what's important? And, you know, there's things that are more important to other people than, you know, others. But for me, for example, if I don't get 8 to 10 hours of sleep, I'm not good. Like, no one wants to be around me. So for me, whatever I have to do to get that sleep in is the number one priority for me. Like, I will pause work or back then school work because, and, you know, decide to wake up earlier and fit in at a different point because that particular thing is so necessary for me to function.
Definitely. Knowing yourself and what your body needs, it sounds like, is a good take home from that. And I think the sleep thing, that's something I learned too in college, was I was not prioritizing that and felt like a different person. I'm the same way. I need 8 hours of sleep at minimum to be able to function. And so, yeah, it's really just, I think college running too is a time to kind of learn what you need, what your body needs, and focusing on yourself first and foremost. And you, with the balancing act, that's a huge theme throughout your life. So after college, tell us what your transition into the workforce looked like. How did you start multiple businesses?
Yeah, I had a few internships during college. They were awesome. They taught me so much, but I think they also taught me that I was just not meant to work a corporate job. I personally struggle, you know, listening well to an authoritative figure. And also, I struggle not having it with the more work you put in, the more you get out of it, which is also similar to running. The more work you put in, the better your times are. And I love the idea that the more I put into this job, the, you know, the bigger my company grows, the more money I see, the more whatever it is rather than with a lot of corporate jobs. I know some of my friends who work just as hard as me or harder, and they never see a pay increase and they never see a promotion. And it's really not that direct return that I get, which is so important to me. So I would say there was that, and that's why I think I started my company. I also will say that as I was graduating, I also went to grad school. I forgot to mention that earlier, but I went to grad school from 2018 to 2020 at CSU in Fort Collins. And as I was graduating, it was May 2020, it was COVID, it was really hard to find a full-time job. So I did apply places, but I did get a lot of rejections and wasn't really finding anything that was something that I would actually want to do. Any of the jobs I did want to do, I would apply and would never hear anything back. So I was like, well, if I'm not going to get any of these jobs, I'll just start my own thing for now and see how that goes and bet on myself, and ended up betting well because it's been going well since.
As a dietitian and runner, I only recommend products to my athletes that I personally use, and I've struggled to find protein bars that I like and recommend because so many bars out there use gut-irritating ingredients like stevia or sugar alcohols, not to mention they never taste that great to me. That's why I'm so excited to be partnering with Savory Nutrition to bring you today's episode. Savory is working to bridge the gap between real food and the convenience of bars with their Savory Baked Protein Bars. Their bars contain 22 plus grams of protein, have a hearty biscuit-like texture, and come in subtle flavors like Parmesan and black pepper, or cheddar and chive. I love to bring these with me for a balanced snack on the go, or a salty, savory post-run snack after taking lots of sweet gels during a longer run. Go to their website, savorynutrition.com, that's SVRYnutrition.com, and grab a sample pack today to try it for yourself. Use code FUELINGFORWARD, and the first bar in your order is on the house. I hope you guys enjoy them as much as I have. Yeah, so the first business that you started was Necessity. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, when you started that, do you have any like entrepreneurs in your family? Are you kind of the first person to do something like this?
I am the first one to do something like this. I think my mom instilled a lot of confidence in me, though. She was a very successful businesswoman within her career. She's retired now, but she always told me I could do whatever I wanted and thought that I could achieve anything that I set my mind to. So I think it's like that viral trending sound that's like, what gave you the confidence? And it's like delusion. I don't know. I weirdly had it, even though I was just graduating. I was like, I can do this. This will work out for me. And it did.
I can fully relate to that. I am the first person in my family to start a business too. And feel like I had no business doing that, but here we are, and it's been a fantastic choice.
Yeah,
exactly. It's so fun. So yeah, Necessity was your first business, and then Cool Down, or Cool Down Running, was kind of your next one. So if people aren't familiar with Cool Down, tell us a little bit about the business and the run club and what that means to you.
Yes. I've always wanted to start a running clothing brand. When I was in college, when I was in high school, I was wearing these clothes and I was like, I do not like these, they're not very cute, and then the ones that are cute are not functional for running. They're very stylish, but they don't have a place for your gels or a place for your keys or credit card, or they chafe a lot, or you can't carry your phone with them. Or so I kind of like discovered this, what I felt like was a gap in the market within the running clothing industry. And I was always hoping that somebody would make it. And I never really thought of it doing it myself until eventually when I started running marathons after college, I again was looking for something to run my first marathon in, and ended up settling with this outfit that was really cute, but it was the worst running outfit ever.
Oh,
like,
no.
Not... I was carrying my gels in my hands for a marathon. I only had three of them because I didn't know. We could talk about that later.
Yes, we will for sure.
I didn't know that you had to eat way more gels than that during a marathon, but I carried the three of them in my hands and it just was a shit show. So I was like, let's start a running clothing brand. My friend Daniel was like, I want to do that too. Let's let's do this together. And then after a little bit, as we were like starting to get into the designing process, manufacturing process, et cetera, he was like, we should start a run club in Denver so that when we launch, we have an audience to launch with. And I was like, oh, that'd be really cool. And we had no idea this run club was gonna blow up. I think it took like 4 months, and then all of a sudden we were getting hundreds of people every single week. So we're like, okay, clearly there's a need for this within other cities. And so we had friends in New York. One of them was actually my college roommate, and the other one was Daniel's college roommate. And they were like, we'll start it in New York. And so it was great to have friends just start it there because we trusted them. We knew they would do a good job. And it blew up in New York. We had 300 people after 3 weeks.
Wow. Yeah. 3 weeks?
Yes, it was crazy. Wow. Our launch had like over 150. So.
Oh my gosh.
Right away it was big. And then after that, it was like a proven success model. And we like really hit the ground running and started going into all the other cities because we were like, clearly this is super needed. And to backtrack on that, the Run Club is really supposed to be an all-inclusive community. You can come and walk, you don't have to run, you can run whatever distance you want. So we really wanted to make this a space where everybody felt welcome, no matter what type of runner they were, or even if they weren't a runner, if they were just coming to try to make new friends because they had just moved to a new city, or trying to meet a significant other because they weren't having good luck online. And promoted every aspect of the club that wasn't the running piece of it. So it's been really cool to see the types of people that we have gotten who were like, I couldn't run a mile straight before I came to Cool Down, and now I can run 3 miles every single Tuesday when I come here.
Amazing.
And so I feel like that part of it has been really awesome as well, bringing a ton of people into the sport way later on in life.
That's so cool. I love that. That's my favorite thing about running, is that it really is accessible for everybody. And I think there's people within the sport who feel like they don't belong or don't consider themselves a runner because they're not, you know, running at a high level or racing. And I love that Cool Down is just embracing everyone where they are in their running journey, even if it's just starting. And acknowledging that everyone who shows up, you're a runner. If you're running, you're a runner. Yes. And there's a place for you. And I think that's so needed and so cool.
Thank you. Yeah, that's exactly what we wanted it to be. You know, we have some professional runners who come to Cool Down for their double for the day, and it's their second run, and that like extra 5 miles is the second time they're running, where some people come and they're just walking and trying to like meet new people. And I love how it can be, because it is so big, it can be such a wide spectrum of different types of people.
Absolutely. And so big, I think, is an understatement. It's the biggest run club in the US, and you have 12 different cities where there are meetups, which is so cool. I definitely want to talk about your marathoning, but do you have any like inspiring stories that you've encountered from your time in Cool Down, or any stories that you want to share from Cool Down specifically?
Oh my gosh, I could talk about this for hours. There are so many amazing stories, and that's true. Like, my heart gets warm every Tuesday when I talk to these people about all these random things. But yes, some of the key highlights is we've had a baby that's been born from two people meeting at Cool Down.
No way!
Crazy. Yes, we've had multiple marriages already.
Oh my gosh.
Met at Cool Down. We have a guy who comes to Cool Down. He is from Mexico, and he comes to learn English, which is truly so inspiring, because I think if I were in a foreign city, I would be mortified to go to a run club where I didn't speak the language. But it's been so cool to see how his English has progressed since he has moved here. I think he's been coming for like since close to the start, so he's probably been coming for a year and a half, and seeing the difference from back then to now is so cool. There's been people who are like, I was so insecure to run in front of people before, I was so nervous, like, I, you know, there's been some guys who are like, yeah, I just like get super overwhelmed by like large crowds and just random things like that, and now they're like super comfortable within these spaces, and it almost feels like a home for them. And I think that's really the coolest part.
That's so special. I got goosebumps hearing all of those stories. And again, just like speaks volumes to what running can do for people. And I think good perspective for anyone who runs, that running is so much more than just the times that you're running. It really instills a lot of character traits and values into us. It brings people together, crosses language barriers. All you can run anywhere you are, in any country, in any city. And what's cool about Cool Down is if you're traveling from Denver to Nashville, you can go to a run club and have people to run with. And I think that's so special. And you are also a true testament to how many traits running has instilled in you that have carried over into your life. And so before we talk about your marathoning, what are a couple things that you feel like running has given you that have allowed you to get to where you are today with your career?
Yes. Oh my gosh. So many things. One thing I think that is super cool about running is that when you're on a run with someone, it is just you and them connecting on a deeper level than I think like any other experience, really. I think you can go and meet someone for coffee, but like you might be distracted by your phone or the atmosphere around you, or you might not like be talking at a deeper level with them. And I think that that part is so cool about running, is the connections that you form. Also, running, you can go through some of the darkest times when you're in a really hard workout or even just a normal run and you're dying, but you're suffering together. So then you're like trauma bonded with these people for life, which I think is really, really special. And then I think like traits that running's instilled in me is definitely just, I think, juggling a lot of things at one time. I think I've had to do that my entire life, and I know you have as well, and so many other runners, or just athletes in general. They're always like doing schoolwork along with also doing, I don't even know, 15, 20 hours a week of exercise on top of that. So I think time management skills have been huge for me, for sure.
Absolutely. I resonate with every single one of those things. And I think especially the lack of distraction while you're running is a huge one for me as a business owner, where it's hard to find and establish boundaries with work. When you're running, you can't be checking emails. You can't be doing any work. You're kind of focused to be, you have to be in that moment. And I think it's just such a respite for a lot of people, and really something that creates space for you to just like, yeah, like you said, like be with friends or be with yourself. And I think it's just, I just love running. I just think it's the greatest thing.
It really is. Yes. Have you found that when you're running, you're just like not even thinking about all the things that are currently on your to-do list, and it's like kind of just this break where it's like, well, nothing's getting done right now, so I might as well focus on being present in this moment?
Yes, 100%. And just like getting some time to get fresh air and sun helps me so much. Like if I'm in the middle of a really stressful period at work, and I'm like, you know, I'm just gonna go for a 30-minute run, like squeeze it in, I always feel so much better when I get back and just so much less stressed.
Yeah. The brain is instantly just less cloudy. You can clear all the thoughts that you've been having, or, you know, a lot of times the brain feels like a jumbled mess when you're trying to do all these tasks, but something about a run just makes it feel so much less stressful.
It totally does. And I'm curious if that's part of what got you into marathoning. After college, you started running marathons. So tell us about that transition. Because you did the 10K a little bit in college, right? You ran a couple 10Ks.
Yes. I would say that was like my main event on the track when I did get to run them. You know, you don't really get to run that many.
Right.
In college. But yeah, when I graduated from grad school at CSU, because I did grad school and also competed there for 1 year. I had 1 year of eligibility left. I was like, I took the entire summer off of running. I was just like, let's just travel. I went to Europe. I went to Australia. I went like everywhere. So it was really fun. And I was like, let's just you know, relax and take time off. And then all of a sudden in September, I found myself running again and just slowly like getting myself back into it. And I was like, I think it'd be fun to have something to train for. I should sign up for a marathon. And I signed up for CIM, which was less than 3 months late.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I was like, this will be the perfect thing to just like quickly, you know, whip myself back into shape, make sure that I'm running again, and like force me to get back into this. I do think I'm a person who needs a race on the calendar for me to run more than 4 miles. Like, I can go out and run a 4 mile run all day long, every day. But if I'm gonna get past that, I need to actually like have a goal race or something in mind. So I think that was my plan, was just to force me to do it. And I ended up loving it. The training was so fun. I loved for the first time being able to set my own training schedule. I was the one who told myself how far I was gonna run that day, how fast I was gonna run it. And I thought that part of it was so cool. So, and then I ran the race and, I mean, classic. I was loving it until the last 6 miles. Every other part of the race was really fun. I think I did a little bit catch the marathon bug and was like, I'm just going to try to sign up for one of these a year just to put a race on the calendar and get myself training.
That's so cool. And you definitely caught the marathon bug because you've finished 5 now and you have your 6th marathon in a week. So as you've progressed through all these different marathons, what are some things that you've learned along the way with your approach to training and fueling?
Yes, I would say training is just listen to your body as much as possible. I never push it too hard. Really, for me, these are just supposed to be fun. The goals are like very loose. They change a lot. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I'll set out for this goal, and then I end up training a lot harder than I thought it was, and I'm like, oh, I can run even faster than I thought, or vice versa. Like, I'll have a really fast goal in mind and I won't really be training that much and I'll just adjust it. But I'm at this phase of life where running is not that serious. It's not end all be all by any means. No one needs me to run fast. It's just me competing with me. So I'm never too hard on myself and just listen when my body's like, yeah, you're working too hard this week. Like, don't run. Focus on work, which at this phase of my life is way more important to me than my marathons. Yeah. So that's what I'll say for training. Okay. And then the fueling aspect of this, I've learned a couple of things. One, you pretty much can never have too much food.
Yes.
Especially on the long run days. These days are crucial to fuel. The day before and the day of, before, during, and after. I have definitely learned that. I feel so much better after my long run if I get in a huge breakfast and then also am eating during the run. There were so many times where I didn't eat enough during my long run where when I got home, I was zapped for the rest of the day. Like,
yes,
I would get in the shower and then get in my bed and then be there until I went to actual sleep. And learning how to fuel during the run has made the post-run night and day different. And then another thing I've learned is also fueling during the marathon. My first 2 marathons, I ate 3 gels on my first marathon and I ate 2 gels on my second marathon. And then I just learned from Danny Jones, who knows people on your team and how they fuel. And Danny told me, oh yeah, Bailey, they're eating these gels like every 3 to 4 miles. And my mind was blown. Like, it opened up a whole new thing for me. And then my 3rd marathon, when I did that, I like didn't know you could feel that good during a marathon. Yes, I was like, this is why the last 6 miles, every time I'm just absolutely dying. And like, I was pale after. I always felt like I was gonna throw up after. I was so dehydrated because I was not fueling enough. And my 3rd marathon, when I did finally eat a gel every 3 to 4 miles, I had my last 10K as my fastest.
Wow.
Of the whole thing. And oh, this gosh. Was on the New York course, which
wow.
The last 10K is through Central Park. So it's also a very hard part. But yeah. For some reason, I just was feeling amazing because I finally learned how to fuel myself properly.
That is so cool. And I'm so glad that you pointed that out because I tell people this all the time, but I think there's this mindset of like, well, I'm not in the pro field. And so that's too much for me. That's too much fueling. That's too many gels. And you are living proof of the fact that it doesn't matter. Everyone is still running 26.2 miles. And for people who aren't pros, it's even more time on feet, which often means you need even more fuel. And it sounds like when you made that shift, you saw a huge difference. And the post long run is something I try to tell people all the time. It's not even about getting through the long run, because a lot of times you can get through a long run without fuel, but then you're laid out for the rest of the day. And you just said you can function the rest of the day, which is huge.
Yeah. Yeah. And I hate missing a day for a long run. Like when a long run takes me out for the entire day, I'm genuinely upset because I'm like, running should not take me out of like hanging out with friends or like getting extra work done or things like that. So learning how to actually fuel has been a game changer.
With the fueling, like you said, initially you had one gel during your first, then two during your second. It's a big jump to add, you know, a gel every 3 to 4 miles. So what's a piece of advice you could give somebody listening to this who wants to increase their fuel but isn't really sure how?
Yeah, I think it is really hard, and I understand why people really struggle with this, because when you're running as fast as you can for 26.2 miles, the last thing you want to do is be eating during it. It is so hard to be like, to even feel the hunger or feel like you want to be putting something in your body. But just practice it as much as possible during the training period. Like even if you're going on a 7 mile run, like try taking 2 gels during it just to practice. And so that your body gets used to eating while running, because I do think that that is more of like a mindset thing that you just need to get used to, rather than like your body isn't actually going to feel like weird when you're mid-marathon, like eating a bunch. Like my first time doing this, I didn't practice before New York Marathon, but I literally forced myself to do it during New York Marathon, and my body still felt amazing doing it because I was like putting out so much energy. And so getting that fuel back in, giving myself more energy, changed everything.
Totally. Yeah. And it does. It takes practice, and especially like marathon effort, taking in a gel feels different than like on an easy run. So practicing with all of them, maybe starting on easy runs when it is easier to get the fuel in, is huge. And it sounds like you found an approach that works really well. I'm curious, what's your gel of choice? What do you like?
I've been toying with a lot of them. I was using Goo, and then I started using Huma, which I also really like. And then I've tried GenuCan. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
You can, or is it just you can?
You can, Jen, you can. Yeah, all the
yeah.
same.
And I think overall, I still prefer Goo, which is surprising, because I don't really feel like it's super popular within the professional runner space, but I still feel like I really like it. Do you have any suggestions? Because I don't know, my body seems to handle most of them well, so I'm down to make to test a few more out before Boston.
Yeah, well, I always tell people the gel that you'll take is the gel that works best for you. They're yeah. all very similar. My personal preference, I don't like how thick the regular Goos are, so I actually use Goo Liquid, which is like concentrated sports drink. So I like the thin gels, but yeah, Goo is great. Like Honey Stinger, Ucan, Morton, whatever you like, whatever you'll use, they're all pretty similar when it comes to the carb content, give or take. So yeah, it sounds like you found an approach that works well, which is exactly what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love to try the liquid Goo. Might as well try it on a run in the next few days, and maybe I'll throw one of those in for the Boston Marathon as well.
There you go. Maybe we'll have to do a short follow-up and see what you ended up doing.
We'll do a post-marathon recap for sure.
Perfect. Amazing. So heading into Boston, tell us a little bit about what's going on for you that weekend. I know Cool Down has an event there as well.
Yes, so I leave on Wednesday morning, and then Wednesday evening, we actually paused our Boston Run Club for the winter, so we are relaunching our Boston Run Club Wednesday night, which is really exciting. And then Thursday through Sunday, I will be working the Marathon Sports Expo because we have a booth within Cool Down and our partner Ultra, so we'll have a booth for that. That'll be working from 10 to 7 every day.
Oh my gosh.
Which is crazy thing to do before a marathon, but also at the same time, Boston's just supposed to be a fun marathon for me. So my work is at this point where it is way more important to me than the marathon. And then Monday I'll wake up early and go, you know, jog 26.2 and then call it a day. Hopefully have a beverage after or something after a very long week. Yeah.
Just a casual 26.2 mile jog.
Yes. Also, just forgot to mention, we have a Sunday shakeout. So that should also be a pretty big event. We have, we're doing it with Garmin, Noon, and Ultra. And awesome. Yeah, I think that will be really fun. And you don't have to be running the marathon to attend. There will be lots of freebies, lots of fun stuff that's going on there. So yeah, come through.
So cool. Where can people find these events?
Yeah, so I just posted it this morning on our Instagram.
Perfect.
With all the event details. So you should see it right there on our Instagram. And we have sign up links in our Instagram bio. So at Cooldown Running on Instagram.
Amazing. And if you're looking for apparel to run in, Cool Down. I personally love all the gear. The sports bras have pockets in the back, which I love, and the shorts have pockets on the sides and in the back. So I have run in Cool Down and can attest to how much I love running in the gear. Also, such cute stuff. And you guys just launched a new product line for the spring, which is so exciting. So really fun stuff to check out too on Cool Down's website.
Yes, Maddie crushes it in the cloud tank top. That's
my favorite.
So cute on you. It like fits perfectly. I love it.
Thank you. That's a staple for me. I love that. Oh, one. Yes. Everyone always asks me where I got it when I wear it. They're like, where is that from?
Oh, yay.
Yeah, so fun.
Yay.
Well, before we wrap up, since you are such a busy person, you're balancing training, you're balancing working, do you have any last pieces of advice for other people who are incredibly busy squeezing in runs? What's kind of your philosophy for when it's a good time to push through busyness and exhaustion and when it's a good time to pull back and listen to your body? Because you haven't really had any injuries. You've done such a fantastic job of just being smart. And so tell us your secret. How do you navigate balancing all these things, you're fueling your recovery with having such a busy schedule?
Yeah. So one thing that I did a few years ago that has stuck with me ever since, and I try to redo it every few months, is I write down in order my top priorities. So whether that's, you know, my, at the time, like what business needs more love of my two, or you know, do I want to pour more into my friendships right now because I think that I'm like slacking there, or into my relationship or into my family? Or am I at this point of training where running is, you know, up there? I never have running as number one.
It's always, I love that.
Two or three or four. But I try to list that out, and then I try to make sure that I am referencing back to that priority list when I am at the point where I'm feeling like I'm treading water, which I will say is a lot lately.
Yeah.
This has been like a really helpful exercise for me with balancing everything. And then also with running, if I ever am feeling like, you know, like there's a nagging injury, it's not that serious, I can take a few days off. Let that injury feel better, and it usually does. So it's always so it's so simple, and it's so hard, I think, for a lot of runners a lot of times to listen to your body and accept that taking a few days off is not going to, you know, set you back in training as much as you think, or like throw off your entire race plan schedule. So just take the few days off. Let your body relax. Your body will usually heal itself in those few days, and then you can get back to your training.
Such great advice. And you had shared a little bit about your marathon training on Instagram recently, which I love to see because I think you're so flexible with it. And that I think is so important with running. It can't always be this super strict regimen, and just realizing, like you said, it's not that serious. This is something that's supposed to be fun and enrich and enhance our lives, not take away from it. And assessing priorities, I think, is a huge one too. So really, really great advice. And it's working so well for you. You are absolutely crushing it. And it's so fun to see. So thank you so much, Bailey, for sharing your inspiring story with everybody.
Thank you. Yeah, I feel the exact same towards you. You're crushing it in all areas. So it's so fun to watch you thrive as well.
Oh, thank you so much. And we're going to wrap up with our fun rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So our first question is, what is your go-to pre-run snack?
Either Uncrustable or Pop-Tart.
Love that. Which Pop-Tart flavor?
Ooh, strawberry probably.
Yeah, that's my favorite. Perfect. What would you pick for your quote-unquote last meal?
Lobster mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese had to make an appearance, of course.
It did. We are lobster now, though.
Fancy mac and cheese. Adult fancy mac and cheese. Yeah. Love that. What is your favorite dessert?
Ice cream, for sure. Cookies and cream, probably.
Man, you and I have so many things in common.
Wow. Can we go on food dates together?
We should. We really should. What is your least favorite food?
Ooh, I don't like red sauce. So ketchup, tomato sauce. Yep, I steer clear of that. Okay, so maybe no food date for us.
No, I don't like red sauce either.
Oh, what?
That is crazy. Everyone looks at me like I'm nuts when I say I don't like pizza sauce. I like olive oil or white sauce on my pizza.
Yes, or maybe pesto.
Pesto. That is so funny. Wow, I have not met anyone who shares that with me, so I really appreciate that.
No way. That's awesome.
If you could travel anywhere in the world for a food experience or travel back to anywhere in the world, where would you go?
My fiance and I went to Italy this past summer, and I would definitely say I would travel back there for more pasta.
Amazing. Do you get red sauce in Italy?
No.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. What is your go-to lazy meal?
I'm starting to say the same thing. I'll make mac and cheese.
Going to be my guess.
Yeah, Annie's mac and cheese. Yeah.
Yes. A classic. I love that one too.
A classic.
And then the last question is, what is your favorite coffee or tea drink?
I love a vanilla latte, and then also a chai tea is my fave. But it has to be sweet, not spicy.
Amazing. Yeah. Love it. Well, thank you so much, Bailey. Where can everybody keep up with you if they want to check in on your progress with Boston or check out Cool Down? Where can they find you?
Yeah, I'm Bailey Ness on Instagram, 3 S's on the handle, and then Cool Down Running is our business page, and then you can also follow my social media agency, Necessity, so lots of places to find me.
Lots of places to keep up with Bailey. Well, keep crushing it, Bailey. We're all going to be cheering for you in Boston, and best of luck on Monday.
Thank you. I appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Fueling Forward podcast. If you'd like to keep up with Bailey, you can find her on Instagram at Bailey Ness with 3 S's. You can also find Cool Down on Instagram at Cool Down Running. Make sure to check out those shakeout runs and run club meetups if you're in Boston, or if you're interested in running anywhere in any city in the US, check out where Cool Down is available for you. And next week will be a Q&A with me, your host, Maddie Ulm. If you'd like to submit a question to be answered on air, you can do so at my website, www.fuelingforward.com, under the podcast tab, or you can email me at fuelingforwardpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks so much, and I'll see you at the next Fueling Forward Friday.